You are listening to the Racing TV podcast on the wire.
Look, it's working. Let's move on.
Yeah, Juki, this is episode 14. Can you explain to the listeners? We've had a weird thing with the audio this morning, but it wouldn't work for me when I was working on one mic, but we switched it around and now it's working fine.
Could be episode 13, but perhaps you subconsciously skipped episode 13, like people who won't buy the house number 13. But
Yeah. I used to go with the girl who, you know, when you put the volume up or down, she could never be on an uneven number.
Right.
Whatever about the uneven nature of the relationship.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
No racing since Saturday.
Yeah. So I had the chance to go to Nace and I should have taken it because I've really been missing going racing. I was going to go to Punchestown on Sunday and then on Tuesday. So I have suffered a bit of a lack of sporting drama in my life, except for online countdown.
Yeah, you're an aficionado.
Yes, well, I do like a game of countdown online or on the television, wherever. But there is an oblique horse racing reference to perhaps my most dramatic game of the week, where I trailed by 2 points going into the conundrum, crucial conundrum, and the conundrum pops up with...
How many points do you get for the conundrum then?
10.
Right.
Oh, it's a decider.
It's a game changer.
It's crucial. That's what they're called, the crucial conundrum.
Yes.
Alliteration. CC. Yeah, indeed. And the conundrum pops up with 4 S's, 3 A's, an F and an R. Very unusual combination of letters. And straight away, my mind went, Sassafras. Because for some reason, that was in my mind. And I thought it was the name of a horse.
Are there some listeners out there who are like, yep, I remember?
Well, there could be listeners of a certain vintage or who have a better memory than me. But it was somewhere in my brain. So I typed in Sassafras, came up, and I won the game. And the guy at the other end types in, says, what the hell just happened there? What is this? And I told him the story about the horse, but I couldn't. I actually said to him, I think it might be a horse from about 30 years ago. But then I looked him up, and he won the ARC in 1970. But more specifically for word aficionados, it is a tree native to North America and East Asia. I think I looked that up on Wiki. So that was my bit of drama, because we're stuck without horses.
That's like... It's kind of like a fella training a horse going into a race thinking he's 7 or 8 pounds in hand, and then he runs into a horse that used to be trained by Barney Carley.
Well, I mean, he's just so hard done by. What are the chances of him playing me? Crucial Conundrum comes up, and some guy who in the back, I must have read it in a book about arc winners or something. And it's a very catchy name, Sassafras.
It is.
It's something you'd like to try and wedge it into conversation, but I don't know how we'd manage that.
It'd be very difficult. Build up the show. Mm. We're hoping to have Goran on Saturday, which I was planning to go to, but we'll have Eddie Scally on the possibility or otherwise of that going ahead, because it's going to be a cracking card if it does.
Very, very interesting card. Some entries which we will talk about, left field entries, left, right and centre, you might say.
We also have Eddie O'Leary Hearsay. I was talking to him this morning on the possibility or otherwise of Tiger Roll running the National. And betting to go with us from bar one. But before all of that, we did have the weights. Juki and I had a little debate last week about what weight the Tiger might get. Here's Martin Greenwood, who looked after the weights for the National. He was speaking earlier in the week at the launch. And following on from Martin Greenwood, we'll float you into Jessica Harrington, giving her reaction to the mark of Magic of Light.
He'll not admit it, but he's probably had a few sleepless nights ahead of the Grand National Weights. I'm not talking about Tiger Roll. It's a big task, Martin Greenwood. Are you happy with it?
Yeah, I think it's worked out pretty well. Most people seem to be reasonably happy. I don't want to expect trainers to be dancing up and down about handicap marks, but the idea is to give everybody a chance in the race, and hopefully I've achieved that today.
Without being rude, is it slightly overrated? Do you try and keep every horse to their sort of park mark?
Yeah, well, wherever possible. A handicapper puts a mark on a horse because he believes that mark is correct. The National affords me a little bit of discretion to try and encourage horses to run and also to shore up the horses at the bottom to get in the weights.
You've compressed the top four, is it?
Top four, yeah.
Yeah. Native River, thought of 11.6, initially drew my eye.
Yeah, he's 1.68 traditionally, and he's now 1.66. I felt I had to drop him in relation to Bristol DeMay, who'd beaten him the last twice he'd met. I think he's an ideal type for the race. I think Joe Tizard touched on it. He's that sort of, you know, that sort of old-fashioned chaser. And I hope he takes his chance. I really do.
Great prize money on offer. And it just shows you the class of horse. You probably need to be 1.45 or 1.46 to get in.
Yeah, I think we're going to be much higher than the last year, which was 1.42. I think 1.45 and above is going to be roughly the area you're going to be looking at. So I think there's some connections fretting a bit lower down.
Yeah. Off the rest, I mean, you're obviously going to say no. there's nothing really standing out. There's a Grand National Trial at Haydock this week, and then we've got Cheltenham, but the proximity between Cheltenham and Aintree is less this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously horses can now run off these marks and can go up and down for the future. Last year, 30 out of 40 runners had gone up or down by the mean, in the meantime. But that's just the way the race is. And obviously, if horses do well in the future, then well done to them, you know.
What about Tiger Roll? How much of a headache was it? Obviously, there's lots of talk in the press. I'm sure you wouldn't let that get you.
No, you've just got to shut out the outside noise, really. But that applies to any race, really. You've just got to sit down, scan the evidence, and make the best decisions wherever possible.
And he finished last season on 172. He's running off 170, so I think that's very fair.
Yeah, I like to think so. We're trying to give every horse a chance to run off a mark that we believe is competitive.
Yeah, well, it looks good. Looking forward to the race. Thanks for your help.
Thank you very much.
Open an account with BarwinRacing.com and receive a €30 or £30 free bet when you have a bet of €10 or £10 at evens or greater. T's and C's apply.
Magic for Light, a really good second last year, looking to go one place better for Jessica Harrington, and a really nice race in weight, 10 stone 12.
Yeah, I'm delighted with that. Yeah. You know, she's £4 better off with Tiger Roll, I think, this year. Hopefully we can make that pay, but under 11 stone was really what I was looking for, and that's what I've got, which is fantastic.
She's a fantastic constitution, isn't she? The way you campaign her, she travels across the water. Like, she was over here about 4 or 5 times last season, wasn't she?
She was indeed, yeah. This year as well. She's still in England at the moment.
Right.
She's
Exeter.
On her way back from Exeter, but she's actually coming back to Ireland to run in Ireland. Rightly or wrongly, maybe I've done the right thing or the wrong thing, I don't know. But anyway, she'll go there. She might come to Cheltenham before Aintree.
What was she running at Cheltenham?
A little bit of a problem there, because she's actually only in the Mare's Hurdle.
Right.
And that looks like it's going to turn out to be a very hot race.
Yeah.
She might go there. I'm not certain yet.
You're on a horse, Jeff. He could run well in the Grand National. He sort of banged his head in Grade 1 company, and back in a handicap might suit him.
Yeah, you know, my main thing is he's been running very well in Grade 1 company. I'm delighted with him this year. He's jumping really well. And he'd run very well there if he takes to the fences.
Yeah.
It could amuse him, because he's that sort of horse that if it amuses him, he'll love it and run a blind out. If it doesn't amuse him, he'll be pulled up before beaches, I'd say.
It'll be exciting. We wish you the very best of luck with the pair of them.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
And that was Niall Hannity doing the interviews there. He's a good man, the Hannity. I like him.
Yes, well, he's a very engaging style.
Yes.
Really engaging style. I like the way he rolls.
What did you make of the Tiger compression or otherwise?
I thought, having talked to you last week and me coming in going, oh, I'll be 168, and then you saying, well, what about the Aintree factor? And I hadn't factored in the Aintree factor. I think 170 is fair. I mean, handicapping, it's not easy, but he's given £12 to Magical Light. He gave her £8 last year. It sort of seems fair on what happened last year. He carried 11.5 last year. He's 11.10 this year. Not ideal for a small horse, but I think 170 is fair. We can't, because it's very strange that there is still an Aintree factor, given the way they've modified the fences. You can kind of kick them out of the way now.
You can basically go through them.
Yeah.
Like a hologram.
But it seems to, the three card trick seems to work on the horses, because you have horses like Walk in the Mill, Vieux Lion Rouge, Highland Lodge and Ultra Gold, and they've all come back and done it again and again, and Tiger Roll. So there is an Aintree factor. I think the handicapper is right to factor that in.
I thought he was a bit harsh in Delta Work, because if you're trying to attract these proper horses to the race, Delta Work comes in 170. He could have compressed him. Could he not have given him a few more pounds to entice him to come into the race? Obviously, you have Bristol, Demaya, Native River top in as well. But Annabelle Fly, Juki, what's going on here? This is the one I think that Bugsy Malone was giving out on Twitter about it. Like 162, he's down to 158 in Ireland. He's been running rubbish all year. Now, you can believe whatever you want about that, but he's been running rubbish all year. 162?
Yeah, again, though, he has the entry form. But I think when you're dealing with so many horses, you're going to pick out ones that look a little bit unfair. But it's only going to be by a pound or two. I can see what you mean about Delta Work as well. When you see Native River in there on 166, he's kind of the one of the class horses you go, he's been given a right chance. So maybe he should have been kinder to Delta Work. Was Delta Work ever going to run it, though, really?
Well, where's Tiger Roll going to run at Aintree? Because Eddie O'Leary spoke to him this morning and he's like, very doubtful runner.
Right.
Very doubtful runner. Bar one's betting on it. 1-4 he runs. 5-2 he don't.
Yeah.
Now, I saw another bookmaker, I think, going 11-2 last night, with which I can't get on, or maybe nobody can get on. But I was like, I don't know where you're getting this. A lot can go wrong between now and entry. Not to mind the fact that they did say if they don't compress him, he didn't compress him at all, really. Like, he compressed him such a minimal amount, it's not even worth talking about. I'm not saying I disagree with the handicapper.
Yes.
But if Eddie O'Leary, I mean, Micheál Martin seems to be reining in on going into government with Sinn Féin. Everyone thought he did an about turn. He actually didn't, as it looks like. Is Eddie O'Leary going to renege on what he said last week?
Well, I think that if he goes and wins well in Cheltenham, they're just going to look at it. I mean, they go their own way. And I've, as we've talked about before, I have a lot of time for them. They're a savage outfit. And I could listen to Michael O'Leary all day. And Eddie's a friend of the show, of course.
Yes.
But they still must remember when they were children and they tuned into the Grand National, and this was a massive deal to watch the Grand National, and now they have a horse who has a chance to make history in the Grand National. Surely it's going to tug at their heartstrings. I feel like he runs. I just don't think they could do it. Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so. I don't think they can do it.
I'd be tempted to run Del to work.
Okay.
Genuinely would. You know, if, as you say, the fences are what they are, the form he's in, imagine if you were to do a Gold Cup entry double. I think, as you say, I don't think he's going to run, but I'd give him a better chance than the likes of Bristol Demai and Native River, because he's an up-and-coming horse who's very ground versatile. I love the way he travels in his races. Here's one for you, Juki.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't expecting to get this.
Mm.
Who rides Del to work at Cheltenham?
I wasn't expecting to get that. I would say Davy Russell.
For sure.
Well, not for sure, but I'd say if they offer it to him, he'll jump ship from Presenting Percy.
Now, that's a call.
Well, it is a call, but I just... what has
Will he be
seen?
Offered?
What has he seen? I don't know. The machinations that go on behind the scenes, you would probably have a better sense of what goes on there than I would.
Who would be second favourite?
Has Mark Walsh got a ride in the...
I think Mark Walsh could definitely be a contender.
Right.
He's
a classy operator. He's
done it on the horse in Down Royal. It's hard to believe that Down Royal form so much has come on from that. Keith Donoghue has ridden the horse, top rider. Mark Walsh in the mix.
Keith Donoghue, of course, because the weight would be no issue.
No.
Yeah, and they do seem to have a lot of faith in him.
I wouldn't be certain Davy Russell ride. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, and maybe Davy would be loyal to Presenting Percy. He has won on twice at Cheltenham, and perhaps he will have as much faith in Pat Kelly as you do, that Pat has trained him, what did you say, trained him backwards?
Trained him backwards.
Yeah. So perhaps Davey's on board with this backward training operation.
Let's go to Sandy Shaw, the Irish handicapper. He was speaking to Mike Vince after the weights launch. And out of Sandy Shaw, we'll talk to Willie Mullins, and the nexus between the pair will become apparent afterwards.
Sandy, it was obvious that Tiger Roll was going to be top of the pile. But Delta Work alongside, it's the classic, isn't it, of grade one form against entry form.
Yeah, it's very interesting indeed. And we don't know how good Delta Work is just yet. We'll find that out after Cheltenham. But Tiger Roll has been there, done that. And he's running off a mark that's a couple of pounds lower than what his official mark is, what his BHA mark is. So Martin has given him every chance. He's given him every chance. And it'll be a very interesting race. In actual fact, I'd say for the first time in 6 or 7 years, there'll be horses out of the handicap possibly, you know. So it'll be a very interesting race.
Is it quite hard for a handicapper, and to get your view on this, simply because he's got very little to go on? He's won the last two Grand Nationals and obviously won the Boyne Hurdle, but we haven't seen him in a cross-country race. But I can't remember the last time he ran in what you'd describe as an ordinary egg and spoon steeplechase over park fences.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. As you say, he went up to 172, but we haven't seen him since, so we can't quantify that really. He hasn't run over regular fences for quite a while as well. But as regards the race itself, like, Martin has to look after all the horses. It's not just about Tiger Roll. He has to look after horses at the other end of the handicap. As I said, there will probably be horses out of the handicap. But it is a very difficult task when you haven't seen him run off that mark. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Of the others, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of water to flow under a lot of bridges, but clearly a lot of interest in Burrow Saint because he is a Grand National winner from Fairy House.
Yeah, I would really like Burrow Saint, and he'll have a weight. He'll have a weight that's 14 pounds less than Tiger Roll. He's only 7 years of age. He certainly will stay the trip. I think he's the type that would like entry. I think entry will suit him. But we'll just have to wait and see. But he would be a serious fancy for that race, now, I have to say. He has a lovely racing weight off 10-10.
Willie Mullins has no left and eighth left in the weights at the Randox Health Grand National. You've just seen him being unveiled. Happy?
Yeah, we've nine left in, but Cadmium probably won't run. He ran in Dublin Racing Festival in the Irish Gold Cup. I think going out and trip is not going to be for him. I think I'm happy with the weights, yes. The one thing you've got to balance here is that you get enough weight to get into the race.
Yes.
And I think Cabaret Queen down at the bottom, she's probably on the cusp of getting in or out. She's 9.13. I imagine a few of the horses at 9.13 won't get in, going on the history of the race. So I'd like to get her in if we could, but we'll see what happens.
When I looked at the list of yours, Burrow Saint drew himself to me first. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, well, he won the Irish National last year, and we're preparing him for this race this year. He's got a nice weight. I think the extra trip will suit him. He'll handle the ground on the day. Looking forward to running him all right, yes.
Total Recall, he's not flamboyant. More A to B over his fence, is that fair?
Yeah, Total Recall has his own way of jumping. If you can stay with him, he gets you there.
Yeah.
Not flashy, he'd probably... But he came out the other day against the odds and won the Thiestes, which is a good trial. And second to Total Recall that day was Class Conti.
Yeah.
He's a horse that had lost his form in France a bit, has come over now, and that he could be nicely in off at a lower weight. That was a nice Grand National trial performance, I thought.
Like the rest of us, Pleasant Company's not getting any younger, 12 years young now.
Right, age is going to be against Pleasant Company, but remember he was only beaten the last, another stride or two, he might have got past Tiger Roll, and last year he was travelling very well when he came down.
So,
the handicapper,
let's give him a chance.
Might have given him a chance this year.
Which is good to see in a race, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially a horse that age. You know, a horse that age probably don't win the National, but he's there with a real chance.
Acapella Bourgeois?
Acapella would love the ground, will love the trip, will love the jumping. Possibly might be more an Irish National horse at this stage, but he has a nice weight. We'll see. Same ownership as Total Recall, and maybe they'd like to have one in each.
Yeah. Great achievement just to have it, isn't it?
We're very pleased, yeah. We have to try and keep them sound now. I mean, people think, you know, winning the National may be easy, but I mean, to get them there, to get them sound, to get a nice weight to get in. I mean, one time, any chaser in training could probably run in the Grand National, but nowadays with the prize money, the level is getting higher and higher every year, and it's tougher and tougher. So just to have horses in there is good.
We wish you the very best of luck with how many you get in.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Willie was in very chatty form, going through his myriad of runners. He's obviously, I think his first winner in the race was Hedge Hunter, is that right?
That sounds right
to me.
That'd
be right. I backed Hedge Hunter, of course, 12 months previous to him winning the race. I think that Burrow Saint, I mean, Juki, this one, it almost looks a little bit obvious, does it not?
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with the obvious. I mean, he's on a fair mark. He won an Irish National as a novice. Interestingly, they weren't tempted to train him as a Gold Cup horse, which is, they've obviously decided they don't think he's good enough to win a Gold Cup. They've prepared him for the Grand National, what runs over hurdles. He won an Irish National. You'd say there's a very good chance he'll stay. I mean, until they do it, you don't know because it's such an extreme test. But if he stays, Irish National winners have a good record in the Grand National. Well, yeah, he must have a big chance.
Is there not an interesting runner by the name of Champagne Classic, 10-6? Considering the fact that he's a sophomore chaser, so to speak. Very good run behind Battle Over Dying at Leopardstown last time. Whatever about the Battler's subsequent performance. 10-6, love the ground, travels away in his races.
Would he not want softer ground, no?
I don't think he would, no.
No, okay, right, fair enough. I mean, he has won. He did win in Cheltenham on decent ground, and he'll go to the form.
Beat Penn Hill on good yielding, yeah. April 2017.
And of course, won in Punchestown. I'm probably talking rubbish there. We'll likely run well in the form, Euler. If that doesn't take the edge off him, yeah, they might be tempted.
Who do you like in the race?
Well, I thought the handicapper had done a very good job because nothing leapt out at me. But what about old One for Arthur?
Yes.
Of 148, which coincidentally is the mark he won the National of, albeit 3 years ago.
It should be noted we were recording this very near the Guinness factory and Arthur's pub, which is actually causing a little bit of consternation, I believe, because Guinness aren't happy with the use of the name. Nothing to do with Guinness's pub. They call it Arthur's. Just down the road.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
One for Arthur for you.
McDonald's, indeed. Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. So he was sixth last year off a £6 higher mark, but significantly he went in off a terrible prep. He'd unseated his jockey in his previous two runs. Now, his jumping is still a bit of a worry. He made a couple of mistakes in Kelso and he ran over the national fences and it wasn't brilliant, but we know he can get it done. He's 11, but the entry factor, it's still there. He's 33-1. If Haydock goes ahead this weekend, I could see him running well in Haydock and his price contracting.
I'm going to go with Annabelle Fly on the basis that they've been training with Aintree in mind. Now, he may just have lost his way, this horse. In fairness, the handicapper doesn't seem to think he has, because the Irish handicapper has been a little bit more what I believe here. He's dropped him to lower mark, but I'm going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, Grant, here's the price, isn't he?
Right, let's look to the weekend. We've done Dundalk, and hopefully we've Gorn. Hopefully we have a little bit of Gorn on Saturday. Hopefully we have a bit of Navan on Sunday and Tiger Roll. It is a bit weather-reliant, but let's have a look at Dundalk first. Tough enough card at Dundalk. I'm not going to lie to you, Juki. But I'm going to go with this horse that possibly is ready to strike in the shape of Dan's Gift. Obviously a horse who travels well, doesn't necessarily find a great deal, but he is coming down to a rating of 159. I think there's going to be a lot of pace on Red Symbol in that race. It's a 5 o'clock Dundalk tomorrow. I think Red Symbol is going to make it a good gallop, along with one or two odds in the race, the likes of Pillar. I don't think he'll have any excuses. Anything you want to be is interest as well, but 10 or 12 to 1 Dan's Gift in a race as poor as that, I'm going to give him a chance.
Great. I'm on board with that. Dundalk passed me by. We have the Franberry in the house as well.
We do have Franberry in the house. His nap is on the way. And before we get to Gorin on Saturday, here's the joy of six. And this week's guest is none other than Jack Davison.
What's your favourite race course and why?
For me, the Curra, Ferris Track, home of Irish racing. Many great days have been had there. Hopefully many more.
Name of your favourite racehorse, past or present.
Favourite racehorse and why would be Have We See the Stars. To me, it was the full package, everything you could want in a racehorse. What I loved about him most is he had an intelligence to match his ability on the track. I think that's what defined him for me, is that he'd win every race, he'd only do enough because he knew what was required. So, See the Stars for me.
What one change would you bring to racing?
I'd like to see a more equal spread, I suppose, of the best horses and the best bloodlines between trainers and owners in Ireland. That'd be interesting to see, because then I'd like to see a more equal spread of the best of the Galileos, for example.
What was the best bet you ever had?
I had £1 win on a horse called Royal Athlete to win the 95 Grand National. I was 8 years of age, and I remember reading that morning in the Racing Post, the Racing Post synopsis. They gave the horse as much chance of winning the National as Scary Spice of becoming a nun. So that was me sold. I had £1 on the horse and it won. Felt like the richest 8-year-old in the world at the time. Never forget.
Give us a horse to look out for.
I have a lovely unraced 3-year-old filly actually, by Dark Angel. Her name is Gotson. She shows promise, so I'd pick her as one to watch. Hopefully I don't put the jinx on her now.
And this week's wildcard question.
What's Brendan Duke like as a first cousin? Oh, that's a good one. Best to last. I suppose it's nice to know there's a social media influencer in the family. But in one word, I'd say it's, I find it, entertaining really.
Of course, Jack Davison, your first cousin, Jukey.
Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah. Bloody good egg. And yeah, credit to the family, really. Very promising trainer as well.
Very promising trainer. I was at his yard the other day. A lot of very happy horses there. He obviously mentioned that Dark Angel filly, ex-Mark Johnson, looks quite interesting. He's running a couple of horse and handicaps this year that look fairly well in. And just a lovely operation, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, his horses are always very well turned out. And he's not afraid to run them.
He's not afraid to run them.
They don't earn anything standing in the stable.
Do you think Gorn will be on?
It's this weather front. Like, we've already had Ciara. Ciaras are bad news generally. And this storm Ciara.
Have you ever been with a Ciara?
Oh, I took a Ciara to my Debs once. And
did you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she came with me, but she went home with someone else. So I'm prejudiced against Ciaras as it is. But let's move on
pretty
from
bad
that.
Debs, to be fair.
It was.
Yeah, even in Derry Girls, it had a reasonably happy ending.
Right. Well, look, anyway. Let's not tell our sad stories. Let's hope that Gorn is on, because there are some fascinating entries.
Let's get to Eddie Scally, the course manager, who'll be able to update us on the ground.
After 15 millimetres of rain overnight last night, our going remains heavy. Forecast for today is pretty dry. With winds, they're not expecting much, if any, rain at all today. Tomorrow is still quite positive as well. The forecast is quite dry for Friday, with, you know, a small bit of rain in the morning, but nothing too major. Saturday is still unclear weather-wise. All forecasts are giving us amounts of rain, but the amount is still really kind of anyone's guess. At the moment, we'd be cautiously optimistic that racing would go ahead, but, you know, we really will depend on what happens on Friday night into Saturday. So, you know, you wouldn't want huge amounts of volumes of rain. There is a high wind warning in position as well for Saturday, so we're kind of watching everything at the moment. But at the moment, I'd still be calling the ground out there heavy, but we wouldn't want a whole lot more rain. Like, we had 50 millimetres of rain on top of heavy ground already, so you can imagine where we are at the moment. Okay, thanks, Johnny.
Juki, the racing on Saturday, if it goes ahead, I do like the two big races, in the sense of you do get, so a lot of these trials, like, they're not really trials. The Red Mills trial actually used to be a trial, and one of my favourite winners of the race went on to great things at Cheltenham.
Around the final turn, Archibald under a very confident quiet ride in third place is bearing down on them. They're chased by Accord in Etoile and Max Joy with Rooster Booster out wide. Here comes the final flight. Hardy Eustace rises just ahead, but Archibald is cruising up on the bridle. Brave Inca is wider out. Then Accord in Etoile up the hill. Three in a line here. Archibald hasn't been asked a question yet in the centre under an ice cool Carberry. Hardy Eustace still galloping. Hardy Eustace pulling it out.
There's no better place to enjoy this year's Cheltenham Festival than Barwon Racing, where non-runner cash back all Cheltenham races. If your horse is a non-runner, you're going to get your cash back. And we're also going to price boost all the live show favourites for all 28 races. These offers apply in-shop, online and through telebetting. BarwonRacing.com, your number one bookmaker.
Hardy Eustace, good days.
Yes. So he was going to run in the Coral Cup after he won that, and then an inspired late decision to. And the amount of people you meet who've backed him and post for the Coral Cup, they're not over.
Sick.
I kind of don't blame them, actually. I don't think I'd be over it if I was on it, because he'd have surely won that.
I'm very intrigued by one horse here who's double entered, and I think you're going to know who I'm going to say here.
Mm.
Durasso. So the JPOB has entered him the Red Mills Trial Hurdle. And he's entered him in the Red Mills Steeplechase. Now, this horse came to my mind when he won at Gorn in this very race last year, the Red Mills Trial Hurdle. But I put it to you, Juki, there's only one JP McManus horse left in the Ryanair. Hell's Kitchen was a big price.
Mm-hmm.
And the Durasso, who absolutely bashed Cadmium, the subsequent top winner, who was rated 162 afterwards. He bashed him over 2 miles at Navan. Yet I think he wants 2.5. He's a fascinating horse. So I'm really intrigued. Wherever he runs on Saturday, wherever he's declared, I'm going to back him for the corresponding sphere at Cheltenham. Be that the Champion Hurdle at a massive price because it's such a bad race. Or the Ryanair. You don't look convinced.
Well, look, you're getting a price, so it's very hard for me to crib a 66-1 selection. But they are scratching around with this horse. They don't know whether to run him over hurdles or fences. They don't know what trip to run him at. I think he's just limited. I think that's the problem.
Stop. Right. It reads like a Monmore card. That race at 144, and we've another race at 254.
Just get on board with this.
Another race at 404. Time. What are you getting on board with, though, on Saturday?
Well, I'm getting on board with trying to get inside the mind of Willie Mullins.
Yes.
Something I said I would never do again.
Because in the 144 at Monmore, number three entry, Silius Emery. What's going on?
The three dog, Silius Emery. I'll tell you what's going on here. This runs in this race because he's Willie's only entry. This is 35 grand to the winner.
Yes.
And he is in a struggle with Gordon Elliott to win the trainer's title. So this is 35 grand that he'd be glad of. And he should be picking it up. This horse would be different gravy to the animals in this race. So I'd say they've looked at his, because he jumped really well in Nace on debut, but then he made a few mistakes despite beating Ballyoshin and Cork. Then he's come down at the first in Leopardstown. Himself and Luke have obviously got together and said, look, he wasn't at the top table as a novice hurdler, granted. He was just a bit short, but he's only had 11 career starts.
Maybe he's improving.
Maybe he is improving. Certainly beating Ballyoshin in Cork, despite making mistakes, would be a very good indication of that. They're looking at a really open champion hurdle here.
Really open or really bad?
Whatever. For their purposes, they don't think they can win a champion chase. Let's get the cash together, 35 grand to supplement him. He'll pick that up on Saturday. Put him in the champion hurdle. What's he going to be? He's going to be an 8 or 10 to 1 shot in the champion hurdle, is he? If even that.
He's actually already come into that sort of price, you know, and that's the mad thing about it. In the sense that I suppose people want to latch on to something because, do you know what I think though? I mean, Honeysuckle, whatever they said in subsequent to Leopardstown, they must be having a really strong thing about it. Surely.
But that Leopardstown form isn't going to be good enough to win even this champion hurdle, is it?
But even it probably wouldn't. But I think she's better than that. She can jump a bit better.
Well, that's true. The last two hurdles are an issue. Yeah, no, you make an interest. But I hope you're right. I this is what I want. I want her to go for the champion hurdle. I want Benny to go for the stayers hurdle. Go deep, as they say in the NFL. That's what I want to see. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Non-runner cash back in the champion hurdle. Just looking at the prices here, 9-2 Honeysuckle. I'd be all over that. 9-2 cashback with bar one. Now, obviously, Benny to do 5-2. We're looking at Silius Emery here somewhere. Where is Silius Emery? He may not be quite listed yet, actually.
But well, he's not entered, in fairness.
Yeah. So they're going 11-4 Epton, non-runner cashback. 9-2 NYLN, non-runner cashback. I like that as a bet as well, actually. but interesting prices there.
Interesting prices. I think they're safe enough prices. And of course, if they all came in, they'd all be short prices. It's trying to pick the one that will come in, if any of them come in. I just leave it alone till the day. The bookies would be falling over themselves to lay horse in that race.
Here to extrapolate on the bar one offer is Will Riley.
The Aintree Grand National will be run on Saturday, April the 4th at 5:15. And at Bar One Racing, we are already paying 150 odds 5 places in our anti-post market. Jiggins Townhouse Stud have won 3 of the last 4 Nationals, with Tiger Roll winning the last 2. He's now rated £12 higher than when winning the race last year. Ouch. Barrow Saint, Delta Work, Look Away Now. The last 7-year-old to win the race was Boxcar back in 1940. 8 of the last 11 winners carried 10 stone 11 or more to victory. Magic of Light, who's been in great form this season, finished second last year, beaten 2¾ lengths, and will be £4 better off on April the 4th, but £7 higher in the ratings. Native River would surely have a good chance of lining up, which is far from certain at present. He has won a Welsh National and a Hennessy Gold Cup and a Cheltenham Gold Cup. He's classy. Walk in the Mill was fourth last year off a rating of 144 and is now rated 150, but landed the Beecher Chase in December over the national fences. He also won the Beecher in 2018. He's had one race in mind all season, really, and looks set to run another big race in April. Trainer Robert Walford's father-in-law, Robert Allner, passed away on February the 3rd, so a win for the 10-year-old would be hugely emotional. Aintree has a habit of producing such stories. Richard Johnson winning on Native River would, of course, also be hugely popular and would give him his first win in the race. Talk Is Cheap is lightly raced and looks a promising young staying chaser, but my two against the field at this stage would be Native River, currently 12-1 with us, and Walk in the Mill, 16-1. Coincidentally, both of them were foaled in May. 19 different horses have won the Grand National this century, and 15 of them were foaled in March, April or May. 11 of them were foaled on or after April the 23rd. May the force of May be with you on April the 4th.
Right, Juki, we're going to get to some naps. First of all, let's get to Fran Berry, actually, because Fran usually gives a very good selection at Dundalk, and no doubt this is no different.
Hello, boys. Hope you're all keeping well up there. another Friday night competitive card in Dundalk. I'm sure in the 7 o'clock race, Johnny's going to be all over the truant trained by Jessica Harrington. It was one of his eye catchers from a previous meeting there, but I'm waiting a half an hour later for my nap of the night. It'd be number 3, Gugan Barrett, trained by Mick Halford. Major return to form the last day when second to the gamble on John S over course and distance. He is up £2 for that, but I think he's well capable of carrying it top weight. He's got a good draw installed too. And if breaking cleanly from the gates, he can sometimes play up on him. If he gets away in terms, I think he should be very hard to beat, and he's due his turn to win. And for that reason, he's my nap, Friday night nap. Best of luck. Hope you all have a good weekend.
Yeah, the truant is interesting. Interesting stepping up in trip. He's also put in a maiden, which I thought was quite interesting on ratings. I probably will back him, but in terms of naps,
I'm not going to go with Dundalk this time. I'm going to go with the nap at Gorn, Dukey. You'll be delighted to hear.
I am delighted to hear.
The 219.
The hair running. The 219. Okay.
My nap is in this race.
It's very
impatient partner.
Okay.
We've all been with one of them.
Impatient partner, indeed, yeah.
Impatient partner, trained by Noel Meads, rated 117. A horse who ran at Gorn over the course and trip, actually, on Thaisa's. He was there that day. He ran a nice race. He wasn't totally knocked about. He was well-backed. I think there's more to come from him. Won a hurdle race back in the day for Noel Meads when he was, what was he, 5-1 on that occasion. His horse has been following over hurdles. I think he's well handicapped, and I think I do like these McManus horses returning to the site of former runs. And he did get a sighter for Gorn anyway, Thaisa's day. I really like him in the Auto Bowl and Jaguar and Land Rover handicap hurdle at 219.
Right, well, I mean, I hope he runs here, because there's a very interesting JP horse in that race, Evidence the Tie, trained by Philip Hobbs. Philip Hobbs with an entry in an Irish.
What's going on?
I don't know. 120 is an exploitable mark. Now, I would just say, if she does run to punters, that she's a particularly accurate jumper of fences, so she mightn't necessarily transfer her fencing ability back to hurdles. And also, we should just briefly touch on the Red Mills chase. Chris's dream, he has to run, right? It's 2.5 miles, not ideal, but he missed the chance.
He'll get his ground.
He'll get his ground. And perhaps for the last time this season, he missed the chance to run in the Irish Gold Cup.
Some boys were telling me he's a national. I mean, he's not going to run the national unless they get proper soft ground, which is going to happen.
He mightn't run again this season. Mm. So he has to run, but he unfortunately, he's going to run into Real Steel.
Yes.
Who's in a rich vein of form this season. 2 wins and a narrow defeat in the Durkin Brothers, not helped by missing the last 2 fences. So I'd say Real Steel will just have a bit too much toe for Chris's dream, albeit in that heavy ground. But I digress. My nap comes in the 2:20, more civilised time for you, in Navan on Sunday.
Yes.
That is the Boyne Hurdle, featuring a penalised Tiger Roll. Now, I don't know what price Tiger Roll is going to be, because last year Gordon said he was half fit. He's gone off 25-1 and won. This year he's saying he's not as fit as last year, but he won't be going off the colour of 25-1. I don't know. Bashasan was favourite last year. He got injured. He hasn't run since. So I don't know what price they're going to be. I'm almost certain Kilfenora will be favourite, and he definitely should be favourite.
What if Durazzo runs?
Well, I hope Durazzo runs because it'll make a price for Kilfenora. I mean, this horse has just travelled like a monster in his last 2 handicaps.
He's not a horse I'm a fan of at all, because when he won at Nace, I backed the runner-up Rock the Bone. When he won at Navan, I lumped on the runner-up Alpha Mix, who was only 80 lengths clear of third.
Ah.
Absolutely wrecked her head. I tell you what, though, Yates out of Blazing List. This man was designed to be a good man, and he is.
Yeah, well, he is. And I mean, such a frustrating experience for you, because this horse travels so well in his races, and then his head carriage, he just loves the game. And I personally think I have a lot of time for Alpha Mix, because both yourself and Gavin Cromwell, 2 shrewd judges, rate him. But I think that Kilfenora beat him really snugly. I think he's ready for this step up in grade. He'll take it, and he'll win on Sunday. Kilfenora 220 Navan.
Will you be racing the weekend?
Well, I'll definitely be in Navan on Sunday if it's on, and I might try to get to Gorton. I'm half tempted to go to the Corson tomorrow, though.
Right.
So I really don't know. I've a lot on this weekend if things are on. I don't know if the Corson will be on, but it's on a hill, so I'd imagine the drainage works in their favour, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm up to. I could be up to loads. I could be up to nothing.
I saw a poll where we were deemed the best racing podcast out there in the particular poll, and it was a narrow enough kind of majority that we were getting at the time, but Andrew Yates put up a poll, son of Ivan Yates.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. We won our group, but we didn't win our semi-final.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. But I think that's
bloody
okay
democracy.
Because well
first
also
the shinners, now this.
Also the king texted me and he said I know someone in a Russian bot farm.
Right.
And I said unleash fury.
We'd like
but
to
I think,
disassociate ourselves from any
think,
bot farm.
I think right. I think he was joking. As it turns out.
Thanks very much for listening and voting if you did in that poll. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and enjoy the racing at the weekend.
Thank you for listening to On The Wire in association with Bar One Racing.